In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the Gospel today, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate. Now, this advocate is a big deal. It's what we celebrate in the Holy Spirit as the advocate, as our partner. Jesus and the Holy Spirit, though, have something pretty uniquely in common. When Jesus says, I will give you another advocate, I want you to notice that one little word, another. The advocate is Jesus. The advocate is the Spirit. And both of them are swinging for us. If you tend to think of the Holy Spirit as somebody kind of floating off in the heavens, who kind of lives just sort of generally somewhere vaguely within us, that's not what the Scriptures say. That the Spirit is our advocate. The Spirit is in the trenches with us, and the Spirit is pulling for us. The Spirit wants to pull us in three particular directions in our own spiritual lives. The Spirit wants us to abide, to love, and to commit. Because what I have learned is that little satisfaction is to be found in life until the Spirit teaches us how to abide in God's love. There's little satisfaction to be found in life unless the Spirit teaches us how to love one another as God loves us. And there is very little satisfaction to be found unless we can learn, by the power of the Spirit, how to commit to others in thought and word and deed. And not just to kind of let them go lump it because that's their problem, not mine. So let me say that when Jesus talks about his relationship with the Holy Spirit, his relationship with the Father in John chapter 14, he's not doing some sort of seminary symposium. He's not trying to do high theology. He's trying to talk about the fundamentals of relationship. That he loves the Father loves him, he loves the Spirit, and the Spirit loves him, and that out of those three people loving each other, then it describes to us how the world works. So if you sometimes find that preachers get off into the atmosphere without the Trinity, I want you to remember one word about the Trinity. It's relationship. God relates to us. God relates to God's self. God is connected in a way that is fundamentally about love. And much else than that is really just kind of how many angels dance on the head of a pin. It doesn't really matter. Because at the end of the day, God's relationship with God is a mystery that we celebrate and that we enjoy and we can partake in. And because of this love that Jesus has for his Father, he can speak with authority when he says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate, another person who is swinging for you. He is describing what I see as the architecture of the universe. It's how the whole world is built, how the universe is built. It is built for love. We were made to share love and to be love because God's nature is our nature. Scripture tells us that when we let the Holy Spirit have our back, we can be powerful. Now, this is true even if you screw up as often as you breathe. This is true if you, on a regular basis, yell at your kids, hate your boss, get angry at the grocery store cashier. This is true. No matter what we do, the Spirit desires us to be powerful. And when we trust the Spirit to be on our side, then we can find our balance. Then we can find our groundedness. Love balances up moving between resting and acting, abiding and loving. Balancing being and doing, sitting in contemplation or feeding the homeless are all part of one seamless whole when we love God with our heart, mind, and soul. Now that's an extremely high bar to try to fulfill, and we couldn't do it at all if we did not have God swinging for us. God who asks us to be the perfect balance of loving and relating, being and doing, knows that without God's help, it is a hopeless endeavor. God sent the Son, God sent the Holy Spirit into the hot messes of our lives. That's fundamental. That is how God works. And into this mess, Jesus in John 14 today promises to send help, a helper, an advocate, and a spirit to lead us into all truth. Now, since we're not going to get it right every time, or even the most of the time, we need an advocate to help us engage in this work of love. We are called to love in the midst of 1,000 different distractions. If we inflict ourselves with all sorts of heartache, or we have heartache inflicted upon us, we are called to love with our hearts and our minds and our souls. Now, these distractions and heartaches are bumps along the road, and they remind us fundamentally to repent and return to God's love. So you screw up, big deal. Join the rest of us. You yell at somebody, okay, join the rest of us. Repent and return to God's love. Now, being a church guy, as long as I've been now, I see that really there are two big traps that we church people can fall in, especially the most committed of us church people. There's what I call the love shack and the obedience trap. Now, depending on your disposition, you're going to lean or veer towards one or the other, but I would wager that this love shack and obedience trap describes about 99.9% of us. So if you are a love shacker, you just love God. I mean, you are just here in worship, and you would just want to raise your hands, and you cry every time you come to church, and you really got letting go and letting God down pat. I mean, man, you know it. Unlike those other people who are just so grumpy and crotchety, you just love God. Now, that's great. That's a great place to start. But it is incomplete without a commitment towards others and others' well-being. So if you come to church kind of for a holy booster shot so that you can go back to your love shack and not really care about others or be invested in others, you have been trapped. You are stranded. It's just you and Jesus. Don't go there. And if you do, you have an advocate who will help you out. Now, I probably know more of these church people than I do the love shackers. And I call this the obedience trap. Man, you got chapter and verse. You can beat your priest in Bible trivia every single time. I mean, you got me nailed to the wall. I don't know where John 16, 18, and exactly what that says if you pulled a gun to my head. But you know chapter and verse, and you are darn proud of it. You love it. You nod knowingly when a preacher talks about unconditional love, and you think you got it. You think you figured it out through your hours of biblical study, but you are completely and totally off base. It's not because you're not a good person. You give time, you give money, you show up to church better than those other people over there. You are committed in ways that few people are, but without love, the advocate's love, the power of the Spirit, you are a hot mess. Now, you think that you are committed more than anybody else you know, but you really don't love others. You cluck your tongues at the wayward ways of the world, and you might try to get those heathens to change, but to love them, to welcome them into your hearts, ew. I don't want to have anything of that. And see, these two things are fundamental to who we are. We are built both to love and to obey. We are built both to worship and to serve. But when we do it on our own steam, we get so, so off the mark. There are two traps of two sides of dysfunction. It is so easy to suck into yourself in a love shack kind of way. And it's so easy to suck up, stiff upper lip it, and obey in that obedience trap kind of way. The love shack anesthetizes your soul, and while the obedience trap suffocates it. So, if you fall into one of these pits, or some other pit that I haven't possibly imagined in your spiritual lives, that's okay. Because we human beings miss the mark. We overshoot, we undershoot. Like Martin Luther, the Reformation guy, said, human reason is like a drunken man on horseback. Set it up on one side, and it promptly tumbles over on the other. This is how we are. And that when we can tap into the Spirit's power, when we can let the Spirit teach us to abide in God, when we can trust the Son to be our advocate and the Holy Spirit to be our advocate, then if we fall off the horse one way or the other, it doesn't really matter because we're called back to love. We need the Spirit's power regardless of which way we like to be self-righteous, whether we're in a syrupy kind of faith or we're in sort of a stiff upper lip kind of faith. The advocate brings us back. It's the advocate that fixes the mess. It's the helper that makes love and obedience real, makes love and obedience possible. Now, this sounds probably maybe more than you are ready for, or more than you think you can possibly do, but you really can be obedient. You really can be loving without being self-righteous. In fact, it's God's expectation of us to be the light and love of God in the world. And when we let the Spirit teach us to love and obey, to obey and to love, we become shaped in the architecture of God's heart. So even if we are bad at keeping the commandments, which I'm pretty bad at, and we are bad at loving each other, or we are bad at making a difference for God in the world, let's trust the Spirit to help us make that difference. Let's trust the Spirit to help us be engaged with the world. Because I am convinced of one thing. We were made to love and to obey. We were made to be balanced in resting and acting, to do and to be. And we have an advocate that helps us along this path. We can plug into God, and all holiness, all righteousness, all obedience, and true, connected, committed love for others is not just possible, it's actually probable by the power of the Spirit. So I challenge you to believe this, as I challenge myself to believe this. We are destined to be a new creation through the power of the Spirit, even if we screw up our lives on a daily or hourly basis. With God's help, we can love in thought and word and deed. We just need help from three friends: our Creator, our friend, and our heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.